The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Martha was distracted with much serving. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When I was 18 and a sophomore at Ripon College, I paid a visit to Dr. Tyree, everyone's favorite philosophy professor and, you might say, even confessor. He was immortalized by Harrison Ford in one of the Indiana Jones movies, but if you hadn't gone to Ripon College, you would have missed it, I think. But as I spoke to him of my deepest concerns in life, of the things that I enjoyed and the things that I dreaded, Dr. Tyree observed with some fervor, "You should be a monk." Well, since I wasn't even baptized, and since I was only 18 years old, I didn't spend much time reflecting on his exclamation. At that early age, I had come to believe already that often people had been mistaken in their estimate of what I should do or what I could be. Years later, I realized, in fact, that there was some element of the contemplative in my person. 12 years later, it seemed like about 100, but it was only 12 years later that I sat across from the Bishop of Lexington, and I told him of the things that I enjoyed and of the things that I dreaded and of how I came to be baptized. And at some point in my story, he exclaimed, "You should be a parish priest." People always have agendas, don't they? I must admit, the bishop's observation struck me as being about as far-fetched as Dr. Tyree's. By that time, however, I was older and more able to defend myself from what I felt were people's mistaken observations. So I gave the bishop all the reasons why I could not, should not, and would not become a parish priest. He chuckled and gave me a list of seminaries, a promise of scholarship assistance, as well as made appointments with the various committees necessary to fulfill his discernment of my vocation to be a priest. 6 months later, we sold our home and almost everything we owned and set off for seminary. Now, 52 years after my discussion with Dr. Tyree and 40 years after my discussion with Bishop Hosea, I'm an oblate of a Benedictine monastery, which is to say that I strive the monastic to live the monastic rule outside the walls, and I've spent the last 36 years as a parish priest. Dr. Tyree intuited my deep introversion and need to seek God in my life. Bishop Hosea perceived my extroversion and ability to articulate God's power working in my life. The fact that I was not conscious of either of those inclinations at the moments those men made their observations is not so much the point as the fact that the two men saw what might be understood to be contradictory elements in my personality. I am both introvert and extrovert, a person of contemplation and a person of action. If I'm not careful to balance those two sides of myself, I'm torn by contradiction. And when those parts of my life are out of balance, my spiritual and physical energies are soon depleted. I spent more than a few years in a university office tower reading 16th century literature, writing scholarly articles, reviews, and even a book, occasionally coming out to teach, but rarely exercising my natural concern and love for others. I was out of balance those years, and through God's love and the love of my wife and the discernment of the bishop, I found myself to be other than I ever had imagined. As I had been encouraged and loved, more able to balance the various elements of my character and personality, I've become more free to be the person God intends for me to be. Often when I read or teach this passage about the compulsively busy Martha and the contemplative Mary, I'm impressed by the way that people identify either with the one or other of these women. Either they think they are Marys, attentive to their Lord, or they think they are Marthas, type A people, never taking time to sit and listen. Which woman this morning do you identify with? When I first started thinking and praying about this passage, I had planned to speak about the fact that each of us has a place at the feet of Jesus, whether that is simply to sit at his feet in adoration or to serve. When I first started thinking and praying about this passage, I thought I would speak of how different we are one from the other and of how important those differences are in the Christian community, of how each of us has a part to play in the body of Christ and how each part is different and equally important. But as I thought and prayed, I realized that Mary and Martha represent two sides of one whole person. Think about that for a moment. What kind of disciple is Martha if all she does is slave away in the kitchen, all in the cause of serving the Lord, of course, but she never takes time to sit at his feet to adore him. She never takes time to sit at his feet and be filled with his wisdom, with his love. How will she ever know the wonder of that love, the tears of remorse that inevitably lie within her, the depth and breadth of God's forgiveness? She's too busy to know that God has forgiven her. She needn't work to redeem herself. That is so often the motivation of workaholism. Further, she's quick to judge and criticize her sister, who is the opposite. I've known people who work their fingers to the bone in the name of goodness and holiness and busyness, and then complain that everyone is not like them, just like Martha, right? Rather than ask which of the two women you identify with most closely, let me ask you, do you see the ways in which you are like Mary? Do you see the ways in which you are like Martha? All of us have both sides within us, and the two ways of living are in need of balance. God intends for each of us to be who we are, fully who we are. And who we are is inevitably a series of contradictions, like Mary and Martha. God loves us as we are and where we are, but he's always calling us not to stay where we are comfortable, but to follow him. And just as he challenges Martha, so he challenges us. He challenges us to give up our predispositions and our preoccupations and follow him. He challenges us to expand our limited knowledge of ourselves and become who he calls us to be. He loves us, he forgives us, and he calls us to follow him. And when we follow him like a loving parent, he will, as we sit in his embrace, caress us and number the hairs upon our heads. He laughs at our silly preoccupations and invites us to journey with him to a right relationship to God the Father. So this morning, let us pray that through giving ourselves to his service and by sitting before him in quiet prayer, we may come to see ourselves more clearly so that we may truly offer ourselves to him in love and thanksgiving. Amen.